Hello and welcome to another episode of A Truth Matters podcast, where I, Cynthia Beaudry, share with you a piece of my mind, P-E-A-C-E. The goal and intention of this podcast is to strengthen and inspire specifically my sisters in Christ to have a deeper walk with the Lord, as well as have a deeper awareness and understanding of your callings and your giftings and your purpose and identity in Christ. However, anyone is welcome to listen. I am so glad, whoever you are, if you're listening, thank you for joining me today. I pray that you are blessed. I pray that you are encouraged. You are loved and pursued by God. I wanted to tell you about some of the ideas I have for upcoming topics, and you guys let me know what you think as well. We're going to stay in the realm of Christendom and issues of faith, so the topics are going to be revolving around that in particular. We will talk about things such as praying and fasting, basic discipleship fundamentals, using our imaginations for the glory of God. Lord knows we've used our imaginations for other things, right? We're going to talk about supernatural encounters, prophetic dreams, how God can use our dreams to speak to us, and how we can discern if a dream is specifically from Him or not. We're going to talk about temptation and practical ways we can withstand temptation. I don't ever get tired about talking about Jesus and how we can cultivate deeper intimacy with Him. So you guys are going to hear a lot about that along those lines. Also, something that I'm excited about and I'm currently working on is to have different testimonies and topics shared by you guys, women in my community, women of faith, seasoned women in Christ. They can share their beautiful gifts and impart their knowledge. They have different strengths. They have different perspectives. And so every other week, my goal is going to be to have a different woman come on and be able to share with you. I want this podcast to be a collective community of different voices of women building each other up. So you actually may be listening to this podcast right now, and you may be on in a future episode. So I need you to do one or two things. One, if you have an idea or a topic in particular that you want me to cover, or a question that you have that you want me to talk about and answer, you can email me at truthmatterspodcast@gmail.com. Or if you are a woman that you have a specific calling or a specific strength that you want to impart wisdom or a burden or a word or something that you want to come share that God has impressed upon your heart, let me know. We can have you on for sure. You can email me as well, truthmatterspodcast@gmail.com. I'm really excited about the future of this podcast and all of the upcoming ideas and things we're going to be doing and sharing with you. Have you heard of a character in the Bible called Mephibosheth? He is a historical figure, and he's in the Old Testament, and we first learned about him in 2 Samuel chapter 4. If you haven't heard about Mephibosheth, I want to introduce him to you today. If you already have heard about Mephibosheth, hopefully there will be some new insight and understanding as to who he was and what happened to him. It's one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, and you'll probably hear me say that a lot. I have a lot of favorites in the Bible, favorite stories, favorite parables, favorite passages. And this one in particular is really close to home because I personally can relate to Mephibosheth in a lot of ways, and maybe you can too. So 2 Samuel chapter 4, we're introduced to Mephibosheth. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel. So who was Saul and Jonathan? Saul was the king of Israel at this point in time, and also his granddad. And Jonathan was Saul's son, his dad. And Saul and Jonathan were at war. They were not in the palace. They were not in the kingdom, because they were actually out by the Jezreel Valley fighting against the Philistines, who were the enemy of God's people at that time. And when they were in battle, Jonathan was killed. And when Jonathan was killed, Saul learned about his son's death, and then he committed suicide. Talk about intense. So Mephibosheth learns about the news of his dad and granddad. And when he does, his nurse picks him up, and she said, says, the passage says, his nurse picked him up and fled, but as she hurried to leave, he fell and became crippled. His name was Mephibosheth, 2 Samuel chapter 4. So let's you and I just imagine for a minute. I personally, like I said, can relate to this story because when I was 5 years old, 5 years old, my dad was murdered. And so I remember the news of when he was murdered and when they told me that. And that's what the scripture says. It says he was 5 years old when the news came to him. When I read the scripture, I was like, oh, wow, like, someone else had the same experience. Of course, I wasn't a royalty and I didn't live in a palace and my dad wasn't a king. But at the same time, the dynamics of brokenness, of grief, I can really relate to that. There's a Reverend Bill Viersteg, and he writes a little fictional account of what may have happened to fill in the blanks. It's just a little story to give context and understanding of the verse. And I want to read that to you. It says, King Saul and his sons are dead. They're yelling it. They're yelling it in the palace. They're coming in. They're charging in. And they're yelling, oh my word, King Saul and his sons are dead. The little boy did not understand it all. The palace became a place of panic. Wives wept. Servants were white with fear. Mephibosheth remembered how his nurse came running to him. And she had yelled, run, run for your life. So the custom at that time was when a ruler was defeated, his family would be killed so that there would be left no lineage. No one could be left to claim the throne, to continue their kingdom. And so what does Mephibosheth's nurse do? She yells. She's basically the person that's in charge of him, his nanny, his caretaker. And she finds out that King Saul and his sons are dead. And what is her immediate thought? Oh no, we're all gonna die. They're gonna kill us all because that, again, was the custom of that time. So she decides to flee. She decides to run. Reverend Bill continues and writes in here. He says, he didn't understand. He ran with her as hard as he could, but his five-year-old legs could only go so far. He had to stop. In desperation, his nurse picked him up with her in his arms, but she didn't notice the chariot right in front of her, and as her ankle buckled, she fell, and Mephibosheth flew out of her hands and landed with a hard smack on his back. He didn't feel the pain in his back right away, and his nurse, weeping, seeing that he looked okay, just picked him up and kept on hobbling forward in her sore ankle. She had to get the young prince into hiding. It was a short while later that she discovered that he was hurt bad, that Mephibosheth was really hurt. In exhaustion, she put him to the ground, hoping that he would walk or run, but all he did was fall. She begged him to stand, but he couldn't. His back was broken and his legs were useless. So here we have Mephibosheth, and on the day his dad, the prince Jonathan, and his granddad King Saul, they both die. That day, his nurse and him flee for their lives to a place called Lodabar. And literally that place, Lodabar, is translated to mean land of nothing. And that seems kind of like a summation of what Mephibosheth was reduced to. He lost his kingdom, his royalty, his position as a prince. He lost his family. He lost his ability to work. He was now to walk. He was now crippled in his body, reduced to nothing. Isn't this such a sad story? But Mephibosheth's story does not end there. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, we hear about him again. And David, who is now the king of Israel, he is asking around because Jonathan was his best friend. So Mephibosheth's dad and the new king of Israel were best friends at one point. They were bros, they were homies. So David's asking, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? So he's probably sentimental at this point, and he's probably thinking, man, Jonathan was my best friend. I wonder if he has anybody left in his family. I just want to bless them. I just want to see them. I just want to honor them and show kindness to them. And so the servants answer the king David and they say, yeah, Jonathan still has a son who's alive and he's crippled in both feet. David probably got so excited, like, my bro's son is still alive. Bring him here. I want to meet him. Like, I want to bless him. Just summon him now. Quick, go. And so they do. They go to Lodabar and they summon Mephibosheth. And yet, Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, comes to David and he bows down to pay him honor because he's the king. And David says, Mephibosheth. He's just so excited. I just imagine this scenario playing out. And Mephibosheth says, your servant. So there's a humility. He knows he's the king. He's bowed down to pay him honor. David says to him, don't be afraid, for I surely will show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed down, verse 8, and said, what? What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me? Then the king summoned a servant and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons will be his servants, and you will take care of him and give him back his lands and do all these things, and the servant will do whatever the king commands, right? So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. I remember reading this for the first time. Mephibosheth in a land that is reduced to nothing, with a life that is reduced to nothing, and then the king summons you and you have no idea what is about to occur in your life. And you move from Lodabar and you move into a kingdom and palace. And it says Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem because he always ate at the king's table and he was crippled in both feet. I love this scripture so much. I remember being 5 years old when they told me my dad was dead, and I remember being reduced to nothing. And I remember my life up until I met Christ being in shambles, full of shame, feeling like a dead dog, like Mephibosheth said he was in the scripture. And then I remember Jesus just summoning me and telling me, no, you come and you eat at my table because I've died to make you worthy. You are valuable and you mean so much to me, and I want you to have fellowship with me, and you will always eat at my table for the rest of your life. And here's the revelation, because Mephibosheth is just a wonderful example that we could read about what God wants to do for us. Mephibosheth was summoned by the king, and he was offered an invitation to eat at his table forever. And it doesn't matter what we have, what we don't have, if we have been in shame, if we've been rejected, if we have lost our family, if we have our family, if we're handicapped, if we're young or old, it doesn't matter, because Jesus offers us the same inheritance of royalty. And I see so many Christians that do believe that Jesus is Lord and they walk in that salvation. However, they don't walk in the revelation that they're actual royalty, that Jesus says, you're valuable, you're worthy, you get to eat at my table, you get to fellowship with the King of Kings, you get to fellowship with other co-heirs in Christ. This is a kingdom, a kingship, a royal bloodline that we're a part of. And when I began to realize that I'm a co-heir with Christ, that Jesus is king and I'm his princess, and that I get to partake of this heavenly kingdom, I began to transform and I began to change, and I began to allow him to minister to me, and I began to walk out into this new identity and this calling. I don't have to be reduced to shame. I don't have to live in rejection. I don't have to live in low self-esteem. And it's not about being narcissistic. It's about having this healthy sense of who you are in Jesus. It's about actually putting weight to what he did on the cross and applying it to your life, not just for salvation, but for abundant life. I don't know if you know, but that same invitation that Mephibosheth got to come and commune with the king and to eat at his table all the days of his life is the same invitation that we have, that you and I get from Jesus. The Bible says that we have direct access to the king through his spirit. It says that we can approach God with boldness and freedom and confidence. We are not dead dogs. Our lives are not reduced to nothing. We are valuable and made worthy through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are a co-heir with Christ, the Bible says. We get to share in his inheritance with him. The Bible says that we are seated in heaven, that we're citizens of heaven, and we're seated in the heavenlies. It says that we are anointed and appointed by God, that we are a member of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are a people for God's own possession. We are partakers of a heavenly calling. We have the right to come boldly before the throne of God to find mercy and grace whenever we need it. I just want to end our time together with a blessing of royalty. I just want to pronounce a blessing of royalty over you today. And I'm going to read it from a book called Blessings of Hope and Joy by Jan Elkins. And it's based off of 2 Samuel chapter 9, which is Mephibosheth's story. I bless your spirit in the name of Jesus Christ with the reality of your heritage. You were created in the joy of the Trinity. By his hand, you were intricately formed and cradled in your mother's womb. You were born royalty, God's child. Before you were born, God planned your destiny. In advance, he planned for your good, to give you a future of goodness. He claimed you as his own, to give you a royal inheritance. He planned for the good works you will do to fulfill your destiny. He knew full well the conditions, the affair, the state of this world that you were born into. He knew the choices, the schemes, the plans of humanity. He knew your fierce and cruel enemy. He knew and planned for your deliverance, to raise you up to your full inheritance, to walk in the King's authority and power. Your season of shame, your belief that you are worthless, that season is over. Though you were cheated of your inheritance, I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ with full restoration of your royal rights and privileges. Take your place today at the King's table. Thank you so much for listening. I am praying for you. I want to see you walk out your full identity and inheritance in Christ. And if you get a chance to share with me what that looks like or what the Lord is doing, I'd love to hear it. Or if you have an idea for a topic, or if you have something on your heart that you'd love to share on this podcast as well, email me at truthmatterspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much, and God bless you.